with her asset level 7 million.
So, for example, the Wrangell Permanent Fund in total probably running at about an annualized total cost of $59,000. But I would also caution you to make sure that if you're, when you think about that, to put it in perspective. So, as an example, if you were to purchase the XYZ mutual fund, the costs associated with a mutual fund, some are disclosed, some are not. Mutual funds have expense ratios which come off the top. Those expense ratios will range on an actively managed portfolio anywhere from a low of roughly 0.5 or 50 basis points to some as high as 1.5 or 2%. But then there are additional costs in a mutual fund. There's administrative costs in a mutual fund that are not in the prospectus. There are what are called trading costs that are not in a prospectus. Those are only disclosed in a statement of additional information. A trading cost is when a mutual fund buys or sells stocks. There's a cost associated with that trade. That trade is not part of the expense ratio. It is in addition. So if you're doing comparisons, which is certainly understandable, please keep in mind that the fee that I just rattled off includes everything.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, Tom, do you have other stuff for us on this?
I can provide quite a bit more detail. My intent is to provide value in the communication I'm giving to you and to not overwhelm. So I'm looking for a little feedback as to if you're looking for more detail or if there's questions that for me.
You know,
by and large, from what I understand, it's pretty conservative funding. Is that correct?
I would say that your permanent fund sits on the conservative side of moderate in your asset allocation. That's come up a little bit simply because up until here recently, the equity side of the portfolio has been doing so well. As equities have become gone up in value, that the allocation equity has become a little bit greater. But I would put you on the conservative side of moderate. The pool fund, I would put you probably, it would certainly be even more conservative. Your allocation in the pool fund is certainly more conservative. Less stock, more fixed income, and more value stocks relative to growth stocks. And that was simply because the pool fund was started after we had seen quite a bit of rally in the market, and the intent was to start in a more conservative fashion and slowly over time try to migrate the two portfolios so they were similar in allocation. But the pool fund certainly sits in a more conservative fashion than the permanent fund, and therefore also has had performance that's not been as good simply because it's not taking nearly as much risk.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody else? Tom, is there anything else you want to highlight for us here? I mean, it's a lot of information, somewhat overwhelming, but is there anything else you'd like to highlight?
Well, the one thing that I do every quarter is I'll send a cover letter. I think the cover letter actually sits between the two quarterly performance reports. It's usually a two-page cover letter. And in that cover letter, I try to give a very brief summary of what's taken place in the quarter. I don't have a page number to give that to you, but if you're able to find it, you'll see that
right at the end,
In that, I'll give you performance of 14 different benchmarks year to date to kind of give a sense of where the various assets are doing in the market. And then there's usually a few paragraphs as to what's taking place. So, for example, in this past quarter, I talked about how we've seen the GDP in this country grow at a rate we haven't seen in quite some time, how it's anticipated to continue to grow, unemployment's dropped down, economic fundamentals remain pretty sound. But then I talk about what the Fed has been up to. The Fed is raising short-term interest rates, which, as you can see, if you've been watching the market the last number of weeks, has started to concern the market a little bit. There's also trade and tariff concerns. I talk about what's going on in the U.S. relative to Europe. So if the intent was to kind of get a sense of what's happened in that quarter, that two-page brief letter usually does a pretty good job of kind of touching on the high points of what's taken place. So if the intent is to have a brief, not spend a lot of time, but try to have an understanding of what's taken place in the portfolio, what's taken place in the markets, I would encourage you to skim through the two-page letter first, then open up the quarterly report. You can turn to that page 20 or so, which will show you bottom line performance. Then you can turn back to asset allocation and kind of see how you're sitting. And in doing so, within 10, 15, 20 minutes, depending upon how much time you spend doing it, you can get a fairly good understanding of what's taking place in the quarter, how the portfolio has done, if there's any recommendation for changes, and so forth.
Well, that's great. Does anybody else have any questions for Tom specifically?
Other than, is Morgan Stanley no longer handling municipalities and their investments?
So, unfortunately, Morgan Stanley has very recently, I think the letter was sent out to you in October, a large portion of what's referred to as the government entity business. Include municipalities, boroughs, states, and so forth. Specifically, they are exiting the area where there's management of public funds, of which your accounts fall into that category. They are going to continue to allow certain public funds be managed, but quite frankly, they're much larger accounts. But there's also a host of new hurdles that all of those accounts will have in order for that to continue. The decision was made somewhere back in New York, very high up the food chain, shall we say. There's been very little information as to exactly why it's taken place. But I think at the end of the day, somebody somewhere decided that the amount of revenue generated to the firm relative to some perceived risk didn't make sense for the firm. Unfortunately, that's been a decision that's been made at many large firms over the last few years. I'm not in favor of the decision. I don't understand it, don't agree with it, but unfortunately, I'm not in a position to change the firm's thoughts on it. So it is their intent to have those accounts transition to another manager by the end of first quarter next year. And I've talked to Lee with a little bit more length about this. It's not like they can forcefully remove accounts from the firm, but what would happen if you were unable to make that decision prior to the end of the quarter is it would simply go to a sell-only request. And so if for some reason that decision hadn't been made, then we would make we meaning myself and Lee, obviously through you, make a decision as to whether to have you end the first quarter deadline either holding individual securities where you would essentially just continue to hold on to them until something different happened, You could always have me sell them whenever you wanted, or potentially move some money into institutional money markets or some other option prior to that. But the short answer is yes, the firm has made that decision to exit a large portion of the government entity business, and many of us are not happy about it.
I understand. I thought we would, if it came to that, that we would roll it over into the hands of another firm. Wouldn't that be the way we would handle it?
I would think that would be the way that you would handle it. The issue that you're going to potentially run into is that Morgan Stanley is not the only firm that has exited or is exiting the government entity business. But I am sure there are numerous firms who would be more than happy to earn your business. And so I think you want to go through an RFP process and find who's out there and assess them and make the best choice for Rank.
That's great, Tom. Thank you so much for your
time
tonight. We appreciate the work you've done for us over the years. It's a shame that it's ended, but we appreciate it. And thank you very much for coming online with us tonight here.
Me too.
Yeah, certainly. And Lee, I'll continue to be in contact with you and answer any questions that you may have currently or as you're looking at options.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Brilliant.
Okay, Lee, guys, I'm going to drop off if that's okay.
You then. Bet. Thank you. Lee, if you would stay on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Don. Okay, bye.
I think we probably have a few specific questions for you, Lee, now. I know I do. Does anybody want to proceed first?
Let's go ahead.
So are we creating a transition plan for our funds, Lee?
Well, I think that plan will probably follow along the process of issuing a request for proposals for another investment manager to sort of take over. And I think part of that request would involve a transition plan that would, you know, hopefully be able to sort of complete this transition before the deadline of March 29th that Morgan Stanley gave us in their letter. So I think that first step is going to involve, like I said, developing an RFP that would probably in a lot of ways be similar to what we would have originally developed at the time, which is now Morgan Stanley.
Okay, that's great. Can we get, are you still on there, Lee?
Yes.
Great. Don't expect anything tonight, but we would definitely want to have this taken care of well before the end of first quarter 2019. And I think we'd all appreciate to see something written out in a timeline so we know that the RFP is going out on this date when hopefully the selection will come. Because it sounds like this can be a bit of a learning opportunity as well, because we don't even know who's entering the market for governmental management. So I would hope that this becomes a priority for us to start working as soon as possible.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
So I don't know if you recall at the last meeting, when we broached this subject with you, when Lee's report was in the agenda, I mentioned I've reached out to a couple of sources with regard to money managers so that we can start developing a bit of a list of people. Obviously, the RFP will issue just out for everyone, but we certainly are going to want to try to send an RFP out to specific managers we know who may be interested in managing our money. As Tom said, there are certainly people out there, and so I've got viewers out getting that information right now.
Sounds good. And could I also recommend that we take a long look at the rolling of the pool fund into our general asset, especially for paying individual management fees? It makes no sense for us to have two funds. That can be an accounting function in somebody's computer that we know that money is dedicated to the pool, but it makes no sense for us to pay multiple transaction fees for two separate funds. Plus the pool fund, I believe, is just slightly over $1 million. Is that correct?
Right. But it should be kept separate.
Well, I think what I'm thinking is that if we're paying separate management fees for the pool fund and separate management fees for this fund. Put it in. We will do the accounting to keep it separate and track it
in-house.
Separately. In-house. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make... They just fee you to death. I don't know if anybody else caught that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah? Lisa?
There are examples of other funds or permanent funds, municipal permanent funds, that have sub-funds in them, like the pool fund. So we can get examples of how that money is structured, where it is accounted for separately, but not separate, actually separate money in a separate account.
Yep.
And I might add that as long as the fee structure is in the basis point type language that Mr. Thomas referenced, then in other words that it's a certain percentage of the assets that are managed, then it really wouldn't make a difference whether you had it broken out, you know, two ways or four, as long as the fee was based on a percentage. If there were significant fixed fees, for example, that might be a different story, and in which case I think we want to look pretty hard at that and at the responses for the you know, for managing the money to make sure that there weren't any sort of issues that we have with how that was structured.
Okay, Assemblymember DeLong.
I just want to mention that Lisa did mention that she would have her feelers out for this, that she was well aware that this would be coming to a deadline. So that was, I just want to back it up and say that was mentioned last meeting.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, Lisa.
Mr. Mayor, the other thing that I think it would be wise for us to do at this time, and Lee, you may want to jump in here, is the Assembly may want to decide if the allocation, the structured allocation that we have, is the best for what Wrangell wants at this time. And obviously that we're going to need the help of some folks in the industry to be able to guide us through that to some degree. But this may, as we transfer things over, it may be a good time to look at our asset allocation as well.
I would agree, and I think I think what we need specifically is to see it down in writing and see what the structure looks like in terms of, and then we can make a decision on that. But I do feel that the pool fund is probably slightly conservative given how we're looking at right now, but watch, it will tank tomorrow because that's the way it always works for me. A
lot of T-bills.
Yeah, it is.
30-year.
Sorry, Lee, go ahead.
I was only going to add that there are certain parameters that are set up by our investment guidelines and our municipal code, and so there's some flexibility within those parameters that we could operate in just under normal circumstances. But you know, I think what the borough manager might have been referencing is whether those investment guidelines themselves or the sort of maximum percentages that we could put, for example, into equities, if that's worth reviewing. And if so, that would require changing our investment policy. In other words, changing the Wrangell Municipal Code and some of our investment guidelines to determine what the parameters are that we give to our investment managers as instruction to stay within them. So both are technically options. Obviously, if we didn't change our guidelines, there'd be a limit to how much risk could be taken or how much could be put into equities. But we may want to find out, some other opinions as to how aggressive you could invest permanent funds, given that they're intended to be there in perpetuity, that we're not planning on cashing them out and spending them within the next few years or anything like that. So I just wanted to kind of clarify the distinction between those two things.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that does clarify it for us. Does anybody else have any other comments on this? Okay, hearing none. Lee, thank you very much. We're going to take a 10-minute recess, and we will resume at 8:05. Regular assembly meeting at 8:05. We're going to move on to consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
Been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Second by Assemblymember DeLong. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Gilbert?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Okay. Lisa, are you back on the phone?
I am.
Okay, sorry I got back late to you there. Do you want to take a minute and we'll move forward with some other business?
No.
Okay, then we'll move on.
I'm okay, let's go ahead.
Thank you. We'll move on to the borough manager's report. Item 7.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of updates to the report I just wanted to go over. The first is, under the request made by the Assembly from the October 9th meeting, one was an abandoned vehicle removal report. I said in my manager's report that would be distributed. The city clerk has that and she'll be passing that out to you. So please take a look at that and follow up with me on your thoughts. Essentially, there is nothing in state policy or our existing code that preempts us from being able to remove an abandoned vehicle immediately from the side of the road if we believe it to be a hazard, danger. And that specific language is outlined in the code, and it's highlighted in areas that I have in my report. My recommendation is that we more firmly define what those things are that constitute a hazard so that it's not a subjective thing. And my recommendation to the Assembly is that I bring some additional language forward to be considered for adding to our code in that section. So feel free to read the report, and then we can revisit this at a subsequent meeting. The second thing that was requested at the October 9th meeting was a date for the active shooter drill with the school district. And actually today, the superintendent got back with our police chief, and they are going to be having a tabletop drill on November 2nd that includes the principal, staff, and the police department as a first start for an active shooter drill. So I wanted to report that to you, and as I get more information, I'll certainly provide that. I am actively working on the attorney services RFP. I actually was able to find a couple of examples from other communities, Kodiak being one that went out for RFP recently for legal services, so I'm using those as templates, and I should have that out to the Assembly. I'm hoping actually in the next day or two for you guys to review via email. One of the other things that has come up that I'm sure everybody is aware of is even though the weather right now is quite rainy in Rainbow, as everybody knows, we had a very dry summer, and our the reservoirs that serve as our power or our hydro are low at this time. And the mayor may want to speak to this a little bit more, but we are going to ask the community to start thinking about conserving power. Because of the level of our reservoirs, even though they're coming up because of rain currently, we have a very short period of time before freeze up up at the upper elevations, and getting enough water in the reservoirs to potentially carry us all the way through the winter we're getting to a short period of time, so we'd like to ask people to start considering conserving power. It's always a good idea to conserve power. So, Mr. Mayor, if you wanted to add to that, please do.
Well, I think the only thing that I would say is that it's the issue is slightly compounded in that we've been having some generator issues as well. And so we want to make sure that the generator issues are resolved too, and we're working actively at that, and I think there'll be some more reporting on that within our agenda package. Part of the issue has come from the Swan Reservoir, which we can also receive power from, is low as well. And normally it fills up, it just rains like heck up there, and they've been dry as well. So typically we can backflow power out of Swan up to the north communities and put Ketchikan on generators. And they just don't have the water. They're not even running their turbines in Swan right now. So Ketchikan is on generators. They've declared a state of emergency or about to in Ketchikan. I asked about that today, and I've been told that part of that is a funding issue, that in order to access certain funding within their own charter, they has to be an emergency because one of their generators is gone completely down, and so they are trying to find some auxiliary generators. But all the water that's sitting in Tyee currently is dedicated to North End. There's no water, no power flowing south right now. So we will hopefully see some good inflows, and I've been watching it, and I know Lisa has too, as are the folks up at the plant are watching it very closely. We'll take our cues with SEPA. They're responsible for managing that resource, and we'll take our cues from them as we move along. Yes, Patty.
I read somewhere, and I wish I could reference it, but the National Dam Safety Program, and I think this is in conjunction with FEMA, they extended grants to states up to the year 2023. So we may want to investigate that in terms of trying to repair or at least try to figure out what's wrong with our reservoirs.
So this, what I'm referring to right now is not our, mean at SEPA?
Well, not so much at SEPA, but our reservoirs.
Okay,
our dams.
So our water. Yeah. There's no, we have no hydropower from our dam, but.
No.
Right.
But we do have a dam.
Absolutely.
Condition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Condition.
Does that cover, Lisa, what you're thinking?
Yeah, just one other thing. What we'd like to, as staff, talk about is, as Mr. Mayor, as you alluded to, we are having some challenges with our local power generation capacity with our diesel generators, and we would like to have a conversation with the Assembly, potentially in a work session, on the 5th of November, just to talk about reliability and what our staff is doing to make sure that we're moving forward with what we need to do so that we have enough power to we have enough capacity to power the entire community if there were to be an emergency of some sort, or if for some reason we had to go on diesel power this winter due to a lack of water in the reservoirs.
What time?
We certainly can make that at the Assembly's pleasure, whatever start time you'd like.
Okay.
6 o'clock, reasonable, 5:30 or 6.
Let's go with 5:30. Does that work for everybody?
November 5th.
November 5th, yeah.
Workshop
here. Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Mayor, the final thing I have, unless anybody's got questions about other aspects of the report, is the hospital stuff is changing basically by the day as final things, final details come into play. I'm hopeful that I'm going to have an update to you on the ongoing cost. I had a meeting with one of the insurance brokers on tail insurance a week ago, and I am still waiting for a cost from him on that so that I can get you some final numbers. And I have been corresponding with Robert regularly about where we're at for needs for the hospital to make final payroll. And it looks like the number, if anything is going to be required, is going to be very small based on the cash flow based on the cash flow of the hospital right now. So I will be bringing you information ASAP as soon as I have it, but we're pulling all those final details together. So I just want to let you know we're on it and we're taking care of everything, but stuff continues to change very quickly.
Okay.
Thank
you. I have a couple of questions for you, Lisa. The Spur Road fill site and the water quality there, can you get a small blurb?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah, the packet was very large, and I didn't want to add all of the best results to that. So we can forward that report to anybody who would like, and I hate to put Amber on the spot. I know I believe she's in the audience.
She is. She's hiding. she looks suntanned and relaxed. Yeah, if we could get this is the fill site that's out the Spur Road and then up the dirt road at one of the first rock pit areas. And I would be interested in seeing how that came back. I'd say anybody else. Mm-hmm. Maybe send it to the entire assembly would be great. The second question I have for you, Lisa, is on our water report, October 17th water report. Again, looking at our levels, we had a consumption rate from October 1 of 405,000 gallons and a bit of change there. And then previously, October 16th, the previous year, was 734. Is that predominantly due to leak detection that we're seeing the decrease in usage, or was it due to an early crab or some type of processing season shutting down early?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to defer to Amber on that, but we may need to get back to you to answer that question. But we certainly can.
Amber's going to take a shot at it, I think. So,
Amber Alhadad. I can't give you a definitive answer on that, but I can offer some suggestions. I think that our technique that we're using now to clean our filters is different, and that's we've been able to reduce our production through that because we're not having to dump the filters as much. We've been plunging them with the sand, which keeps them producing longer, so we're not having to dump that water like we were having to do before. So by dumping that water, we're increasing our consumption rate compared to what is consumed. The production compared to what's consumed. If you look through there, you're going to see a lot less production these days than you have been in the past. Leak detection probably, and the repairs that we've made has contributed to that most likely. But again, without metering in our system, it's really hard to identify where those changes have occurred.
Fair enough. So my question is, we consumed 405,586 gallons of water in the week of October 1 with a production rate of 765,000 gallons of water. Oh, I'm sorry, that's wrong, 542,000 gallons of water. Our previous production was 734. So when you say the cleaning process is not that water, it's metered as it hits town and the other side of the slow sand filters, is that correct? Or is it metered as it goes into the slow sand filters?
On the other side, as it's left the plant and it's going down the hill to town.
Sure. So then what I would say is that regardless, that like we don't have the metered rate for the October 16, 2017 then. 734, the week of October 16th.
We don't. Right. No.
Okay.
We do not.
The next question I have is, are we meter inflows at our sewage treatment plant, correct?
We do, but you cannot correlate those two.
Why not?
Because of deficiencies in our system.
Okay, but
we tried to correlate that earlier, and there are a lot of places where there is additional flow into our sewer system, which shouldn't be there. It should be more storm as opposed to sewer. And so we have a higher level of flow into the wastewater plant
Sewers are tied into our wastewater.
There are places
plant.
In town where that's occurred. All of Front Street used to be that way, and in the Front Street rehabilitation project, that was changed. There are other places throughout town that are like that.
There's no way to correlate amount of rainfall and subtract that from your inches, X amount of inches. I guess not. That's an easy way for you to meet.
Yeah. I will also add that sea level here, I don't know that they're running that much this year. I know they have been, but it seems like the production is a lot less this
lot
year
more.
As well.
Assemblymember Decker.
Well, I just wanted to your point about if the difference between this October and last October is related to fixes in the system, you know, the leaks, and I mean, you know, you can't tell definitively, but you know, we had numbers 700,000, 700,000, 700,000, 800,000, all the way up. Basically, the leak was fixed, and it immediately dropped 25% down to 600,000 in February to March. So, and then it stayed relatively lower, even though we went up a little bit in the summer with seafood production. So it seems fairly obvious that there was at least a big chunk there that was fixed through the leaks. So,
and I hope we can stay on top of those leaks.
Yes.
Boy, what a difference. For the community, I would just like to mention, I've had several community members come up and speak to me about it's important for them to run their water because they can't afford to insulate their pipes, just out of interest. So when we are running in the week of February last year, we ran 1.151 million gallons of water through our system with no plant operating. That water was, the majority of that was wasted down into our sewage treatment plant.
During that month, there was also a significant leak that we could not find. Okay.
So then the week before was 1.132. The week before that in January was 1 million.
Yeah.
January 15th was 1 million. So it definitely a leak. But I think a lot of this is where people start running there. We had 1 million gallons in the week of January 1st. Mm-hmm. So it does, you know, you feel like it's just you, but it's not just you. Mm. It's a whole bunch of people, and it just sucks our resource back. So thanks, Amber. I appreciate that. Anybody else, anything else for Amber? Thank you, Lisa. Anything else for Lisa on her report? Okay, moving along. Borough Clerk's file.
So last week, or the last meeting, Carol, thank you so much. She's not here, but thank you so much for filling in for me. And in my report, I did have some voter statistics, but I just wanted to say those for the public because I was really pleased with the turnout. So at the time of election, Wrangell had 1,885 voters. And I don't have the exact numbers, but that was like 100 and something up from last year, which is awesome. And I think a lot of it is because DMV registration and PFD, when you're applying, then they register you to vote. So I'm really excited about that. And then, let's see. So our absentee turnout, 115 voted. That's 6% voter turnout. And on election day, 648 people voted. 34% turnout, so a total of 763 people voted, and that was 40%. And I'd love to see it go up, because last year it was 16%. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I was really happy about that. So I'm very thankful that people came out and voted. And of course, we have early voting for the general election going on right now, all the way up until the day before Election Day, here in the Assembly Chambers. So. And that's
excellent.
All I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, we have Mayor and Assembly Business. Does anybody have any reports or comments to make? Assemblymember Decker.
I had two things. First, in our federal lobbyist report, they mentioned the pink salmon disaster relief funds that are coming to the state, and there was a plan of how it was distributed. It's kind of being finalized, and we should know more about that. But I had a question from a community member about whether fishermen, what, you know, if it was only seiners that could apply. And from what I was able to dig up, it sounds like gillnetters also are eligible for this fund. So when we find out more about when you can actually apply, I think it'll be either December or January. You know, the I'm sure we'll let folks know, but also be paying attention. But it sounds like, you know, not just seiners are eligible, but gillnetters as well. And there's certain criteria you have to meet, but they'll publish all that later. The second thing I wanted to mention is that I was in Petersburg yesterday and today, a meeting about sea otters. And, you know, some folks in the community obviously are concerned about the amount of sea otters in the area, and then their destruction of shellfish populations. So it's not a new topic. It's been around for a long time. But there was sort of a new kind of little group that focused on more of what are some actionable items that we can actually do right now, not hoping for federal changes and hoping for sort of big change, but what efforts can happen now. And it was fairly productive and positive, and so it gave me, I'm cautiously optimistic of some ways to move forward, basically supporting the allowable use by Alaska Natives and trying to support that through some channels that exist, and tanning and tanning capacity and things like that. So it was fairly productive, so just wanted to report that.
I just want to speak and say that KSDK did a great job this past weekend holding an event with live music and a nice band. So it was a great event for the community to come out and get out. So thank you to the organizers and all the volunteers that made that happen, and some recreation and fun entertainment for Wrangell.
Absolutely. I had an opportunity to meet with Representative Ortiz today, and I have raised with him my concerns about Petersburg making a request for a second social worker to be stationed in Petersburg. They're a little bit upset because when their social worker has to go over to our village, it leaves them without a social worker. And I've sort of pointed out, welcome to our world. And that we're the second largest community being serviced there, and we need to absolutely have a person here. It's we lost it about 10 or 12 years ago when Judy Ellen retired, and this has been a growing trend in our community, and we have to try to reverse it. We have now lost our social worker, our community health center nurse is reduced dramatically, and our magistrate was just lost. And from a law enforcement side, that is going to have a dramatic effect on us, impact on us, because now if they want to issue a search warrant, they have to go through Petersburg or elsewhere, whereas before, whenever we want to ex parte something, I'm not sure if the deputy clerk can do those sort of things, but this is a big deal for us. And so I mentioned that the regionalization of these important jobs in our community is unacceptable. And so he is made a commitment that he will start working diligently to attempt to get the second social worker stationed in Wrangell. I pointed out that they could put the person right over here in the building in the health center. They're renting that whole health center space. They could put them in there. So hopefully we'll see something of that. I know I know my wife has written letters with concerns about the amount of time it takes for investigations to take place of at-risk children and adults. I know the teachers met with the social services liaison that came through the other day, and they just railed them about their concerns going unanswered for children who they are fearful are being abused. So hopefully something will come of that, and we'll keep some heat on Representative Ortiz if he wins, and if not, the other guy. So we will stay on that one. Anybody else? Great. We're moving on to 10A and B. So 10A is city boards and committee appointments for open vacancies. Right now we have an opening on the Parks and Rec board, and we have a letter of interest from Anya Ritchie, which I believe was repositioned there after we lost Mr. Lippard from the board there. So I will appoint Anya Ritchie to that board if the assembly agrees to that. Thank you. We have no names for a planning and zoning commission opening that's good until October 2021. And a second Planning and Zoning Commission opening 10 to 10-21, if we could get the clerk to re-advertise those. And just a word out to the community. These are important positions, and if you're available to sit on those commissions, we'd appreciate it. I would like to make a recommendation. What are we looking at next? Bacon Borough Clerk. Sorry, which one now?
10B.
10B. No, I'm on to, let me just figure this out here. Stand by. I'll get it straight. Oh, the Search Advisory Board. I would like to request that Assemblymember Gilbert move on to the Search Advisory Board on behalf of the Assembly, if she's willing to do that.
We'll do it. Yep.
Thank you very much. I think you'd be excellent at that. The rest of the Assembly agrees?
Yes.
Thank you. 10B, we're done that one. We're moving on to 13A?
Yes.
Okay. New business. 13A? Am I missing something?
You have to read it.
I am going to, yeah. Approval of sole source contracting conformance with Wrangell Municipal Code Section 5.10.050G with Seattle Radiator in the amount of $27,702.
Move to approve a sole source contract in conformance with WMC Section 5.10.050G with Seattle Radiator in the amount of $27,702.
Second.
We move to second it. Discussion. Lisa, my understanding is that this generator, that's already down at this place, and they're ready to do the work. And
that's absolutely correct. And in order for us to stay on target as my placement, the governor control replacement project, we need to get this moving through the repair process as quickly as we can. And Seattle Radiator is a known entity that the borough has been doing business with for a number of years.
Okay. Any other questions on that?
And the arrival date is still expected to be 11/12?
That's my understanding. If the assembly approves this tonight, Mr. Armstrong, I believe, is still in the audience. But their anticipation is that the four parts can be ordered tomorrow if the assembly approves it, and they can get everything done such that it can be on the barge and up here the second week in November.
Excellent. Any other questions? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Proposed resolution number 10-18-1430, item 13C. The Assembly and City of Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for a limited waiver of discretion immunity related to the enforcement of the asset purchase agreement and related hospital lease with Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, approved by the Assembly in ordinance number 948, approved by the voters at the October 2nd, 2018 regular election.
Move to adopt resolution number 10-18-1430 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for a limited waiver of discretionary immunity relating to the enforcement of the asset purchase agreement and related hospital lease with Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, approved by the Assembly in ordinance number 948 and approved by the voters at the October 2nd, 2018 regular election.
Moved.
Second.
It's been seconded by Assemblymember Decker. Discussion. Lisa, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of items to bring up, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So, Mr. Mayor, Assemblymember Gilbert actually had a couple of questions that I think were excellent, and I reviewed those with our attorney prior to the meeting, and so I wanted to share those with the rest of the Assembly and the public, if that's okay?
Please do.
So, Assemblymember Gilbert questioned if we were in violation of Section 1.5 of Wrangell Municipal Charter. And basically, that section of the charter gives the City and Borough of Wrangell all the powers and rights and privileges, franchises, and immunities that are allowed under law and aren't expressly prohibited. And Assemblymember Gilbert's concern was that those immunities weren't waived as part of the proposition language that was on the ballot. And we went back to the attorney and checked with her, and basically what she said is Section 1.5 of the charter allows us, gives us the power to waive the powers that we have. It doesn't, because it's not, we are not precluded by law from doing that, Section 1.5 actually is what enables us to be able to waive those powers in this instance, and that's what we're doing. The second question that Assemblymember Gilbert had was whether or not a resolution was the correct way to be approving the limited waiver of immunity and rather than an ordinance. And so our attorney went back to state statute Title 29, which is what governs municipalities, and she looked at those things that are specifically required to be approved by ordinance, and this is not one of them. So passing it by resolution is just fine what we're doing. And I wanted to remind the Assembly and the listening public who may be curious about this, CERCH is granting the City and Borough of Wrangell a limited waiver of their sovereign immunity with regard to the asset purchase agreement and the elements of the transaction related to the hospital solution. And so what the City and Borough of Wrangell is doing is returning that act with a limited waiver of our immunity as well, with our statutory immunity in this resolution.
Senator Gilbert.
And in layman's terms, what that means is that if either one of us feels like there's a breach in the contractual agreement that we have with each other, we have the ability to sue.
And this stands in place of the certificate that that is required in the APA, correct?
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's correct. Thank you so much, Assembly Member Gilbert.
And Assembly Member Gilbert, a question for you. Your questions were answered to your satisfaction.
Yeah, I researched the state law that they referenced, and it is a discretionary, limited waiver. And my question about the ordinance versus resolution has been cleared up.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your diligence on that. Any other questions? Yes.
I just wanted to say that in our discussions in this whole transaction, which was fairly complicated, the limited waiver of sovereign immunity with search was something that we wanted from them. So I think that this is a fair request back in return. It was a fairly important thing for us. So I'm in favor of this.
Anyone else? Comments or questions? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Okay, item 13D, proposed resolution number 10-18-1431 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the termination of employee benefit plans sponsored by Wrangell Medical Center.